beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, sacrifice wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of us, as we get older, think we don't have too much of a mind left to renew. And we start forgetting a lot of things. But there's still some renewing that goes on. There's still some new cells being manufactured in your body. So there's stuff going on, and there's a lot of things that we can learn at our age that we could not have learned 10 years ago. We've experienced a number of things in that period of time. And every time, I hear this from other people, every time I read the Bible, I can read the same verse. And since I'm coming at it from a different year in my life, after different experiences in my life, I see it anew. It's a fresh again. If we're not studying our Bibles, that's a no-no in my book. We need to be studying our Bibles. Above all things, study God's Word. Study God's Word. If your eyesight is such that you can't see very well, get you some whatever it is, CDs, a DVD, anything that you can have the Bible read to you. New Year's resolutions. I thought about that for today. Meaningful. Are they? Are they meaningful to you? One year, I don't know how many years ago. Remember this card? Any of you remember this card? Red card. Daily Bible reading schedule bookmark. Did anybody, don't have to show hands. Anybody uses, each day on here has got some scriptures that you can read, and if you read those scriptures, you read through the Bible in a year, the whole Old Testament and New Testament. Well, I ran across my schedule, and I marked every day that I read it, the Bible, reading. I mean, I read the Bible other days, but you know how far I got down in a year? No, you don't. I do. You know how far you got along if you kept your card. Now, I got to August 27th. I was in Ezekiel chapter 1 through 4, or either Ezekiel 5 through 8, because my lines were a little crooked where I drew through it. I don't have any other markings on there. I don't know what happened after that time. I drew a complete blank. Did I continue reading? Evidently, I didn't follow the schedule. What about you? You New Year's resolutions, do you keep them? Are they meaningful to you? By the way, I've got some more cards. We've got some on the front seat. If you'd like to do that this year, you don't have but one day to catch up on. I've got some of the cards where you can read the Bible through in a year. It's not the most... It's not the best way to study the Bible. It is probably the best way to read through the Bible. And there is a difference. Now, New Year's resolutions, if they work for you, good. But they'll work for you only if you work for them, right? Now, I also ran across list of New Year's resolutions for 2010 that I have. I have 10 of them. 10 of them. I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm going to tell you that I didn't do very well on them, though. I made some attempts. I got to a certain point. But see, 10 is too many. So when I revised them, in August of 2010, I don't know why I revised them. I didn't do any better after then. 10 had suddenly become 11. I didn't learn, did I? One has to do with exercising. One has to do with weight, reading the Bible, visiting, eating fruits and vegetables. Prepare a daily to-do list. Well, that'll get you done more. But some things I did learn as a result of not keeping my New Year's resolutions. This is just the introduction. You can hardly wait for the rest of it, right? But anyway, it takes discipline. It takes discipline. Anything that we do that's worth doing takes discipline, doesn't it? It takes some discipline. And as we get older, a lot of times we don't want that discipline. I mean, when I retired from American General, I didn't want to hear too much about taxes. So first thing I did the next spring was go to an H&R Block tax school. But I didn't go to work for them, so I showed them. Takes discipline. There's a need to be more specific than we are sometimes. If we're going to lose weight, put down how many pounds. Or put the goal of the weight that you wish to attain. And maybe set some intermediate goals. This is the same way, too, in renewing our spiritual life. In helping us in our spiritual life. Set some intermediate goals. Because you see, those 10 that I set, they were too high for me. Because when I look at the list, I just get frustrated. See, I had other things to do that day. And there were 10 things that I said I was going to do as New Year's, and I couldn't get to them. See, I was talking to myself, and I wasn't disciplined. Need to be specific. And don't list too many things. We just don't deal with big, long lists. All right, so at the end of the year, in a number of years, I've had a lesson on taking spiritual inventory. And it's good to do that. Businesses used to at least take physical inventory. Some of them still do. Many of them, though, have computers, and there is a perpetual inventory. In other words, they always know what they have, or think they know, so they still probably take a physical inventory because the employees steal, and they don't have a record of that. You know, it doesn't run through the cash register, so they can't keep up, it won't compute. Emphasis, though, usually in those lessons of taking a spiritual inventory have to do with, well, where was I last year spiritually? And have I grown over these last 12 months? What is it that's gone on in my life that has helped me to grow? What is it that I wish and I desire to accomplish spiritually in my life this next year? Now that you're here is a good start. That you're here is a good start. God's Word says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. That's New King James Version. Then it says, test yourself. So periodically we need to take an examination. We need to pause. There are not enough pauses in our lives where we really think. Where we really think. And just don't have our mind in you. I don't want to think about it. I know Janice would bring up something to me this week. And I tell you, I said, look, it's not a good way to your husband or your wife to start your sentence off with, look. That's a bad start. Look. I'm thinking about something else. I'm thinking about something else. Probably I should have listened to what she had to say, but I would have forgot what I was thinking about. Well, I was involved in something else. And a lot of times we're that way. We've got something going on, whether we're retired or not. You know, used to, I thought, well, you'd be retired. That means you don't have anything to do. No, that's not it. You still got a lot of things to do, so you still have to have some discipline. Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. So as I thought of this year's lesson, I began reading what others had said about New Year's and what scriptures they mentioned. One scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away, as we look at last year. Behold, all things are become new. That's not what the scripture means, but I've had some people use that. Joshua 3, 3 and 4 closes with these words, "For we have not passed this way before." For we've not passed this way before. Excellent way to start thinking on what are we going to do with what we've been given. Each day is new though, isn't it? We don't have to have a new year. Each day, each 24 hours is a new day given to us. A clean slate. It's up to us to write on our slate what will be accomplished. Then I came across this scripture. Now, and you might say, well, what in the world does it have to do with? Well, let's listen to it. Matthew 16, 26. "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know initially what the title of my lesson was going to be? New Year's Resolutions, Bah Humbug. And I thought, Jim, you're getting a little bit too negative. You know, you're not going to come across with that kind of title. It's a lesson. The lesson has changed the title. Resolved. I will go on a soul-saving mission in 2011. I will go on a soul-saving mission in 2011. My own soul. My own soul. What could be more important? What could be more important? What is a man profited if he knows all about the ages of rocks, if he knows nothing about the rock of ages? What will it profit when life is o'er? Though gathering riches and fame, if gaining the world, I lose my soul. And in heaven, unknown is my name. From choice gleanings. What better resolution, if I was just going to have one, would there be than this one? The saving of my soul. You might say, well, that's selfish. You're just thinking of yourself, Jim. You're only thinking of yourself. Well, who's responsible for me? Jerry? Whenever I go before the Heavenly Father at the judgment, when I'm before the judgment seat of God, I call on Jerry, give an account for me. No, I'll give an account for myself. I'll give an account for myself. There'll be no lollygagging around. There'll be no excuse making on that day. And I wish that I had set myself a mission of saving my own soul. I can't blame my husband or my wife for living the way they do. Oh, they're going to get some blame for it, maybe, if I don't do the right thing in their part cause of it. But ultimately, I give an account. Well, is this a mission impossible or a mission possible? You recall the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I think as we hear them, we will. He said, "But I buffet my body," or "I discipline my body daily." Why, Paul? "And bring it in subjection." Why, Paul? "Lest when I preach to others, I should become a castaway or become disqualified," the New King James says. He says, though I'm preaching, I said, Paul, look how good a man you are, preaching and teaching and giving all your life. But if I don't live the way Christ wants me to live, I could be lost. Oh, but you're a great preacher. God's going to... I could be lost. Paul says, I buffet my body. I'm on a soul-saving mission of saving others, yes, but I'm on a soul-saving mission, my own soul. What are some things I need to keep in mind or consider? Well, it is a mission possible or a mission in progress, you might say, that of saving my own soul. Let's look at some of God's Word as we get some encouraging words, some optimistic words from the Bible. And also we'll look at some admonitions or warnings. Philippians 4:13, probably one of the most optimistic things. And it comes from the same man that said, I buffet my body every once in a while. Is that what he said? All us folks that want to read the Bibles daily and probably don't, Paul said, I buffet my body daily. I keep an eye, examine myself. I keep an eye on what I say, on what I do, and how I act daily. I discipline myself. Oh, we live in a world that lacks discipline. Lacks discipline. Philippians 4:13, words of the Apostle Paul there. Says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Speaking to the brethren at Philippi, he's in prison. He had just said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. These are encouraging words for Christians. Romans 8:31-32. There are encouraging words there from the pen of the same Apostle Paul, God's Word. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We have help. We don't make this journey by ourselves. This mission of saving our souls is not something that I have to do by myself. Along with these encouraging words of the Bible come warnings, come admonitions. And I want to look at a couple from the book of Galatians. First one is in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 6. So if you're turning to your Bible, just go to Galatians 6, 7, 8. Galatians 6, 7, 8. Next we'll look at Galatians 6, 9, 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So as I take on my mission this year, I need to live a moral, chaste, pure life, don't I? Paul said, don't be mocked. Don't be deceived, rather. God is not mocked. Whatever seed you sow, whatever you do this year, it could come back to haunt you or it could come back in your favor. That's dealing with your children, dealing with your grandchildren, dealing with your wife, relationship with your husband, with your family, with the church. In addition to being here at the 10 o'clock hour for to hear me teach, why not come an hour earlier to study the Bible, where we get more down in the nitty-gritty of God's Word from a particular chapter and a verse and study it in the context in which it was written? Why not? You know, I was thinking about it. How many hours we have in a week? 24 times 7, 168, right? What percent of the time do we assemble together? Would you say? 1 hour a week. I mean, what percent would that be of 168? Well, since I'm a CPA, I'll give it. No. It's less than 1%, isn't it? Got to be less than 1%. What about if I'm here Bible study on Sunday morning in Offshore Church, two times 168? I'd be around 1%, wouldn't it? Somewhere in that neighborhood. What about if I was here on Sunday afternoon? I'd be here three times. I'm getting a little over one half percent then. Four times. That'd be Wednesday night. Of all things, me on a Wednesday night, the building would fall in. You'd help our attendance go up from 7 or 8. 7 or 8. That is very discouraging. Makes you wonder when the door's going to close, folks. 7 or 8, or maybe 6, which we had on one Wednesday night. I was hoping it'd never get below double figures. I don't know. I like triple figures. That 100, is it still up there? We like that. I mean, never going to see it the way we're going, though. Nine and 10, Galatians 6. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Well, what is God's word telling us there? Number one, there's a tendency to grow weary, isn't it? Oh, after a year of sticking to a particular thing, of reading the Bible every day, or going to church every Sunday, oh man, I grow weary. I'm not sure that that's going to stick if we try to stick it on the wall when we make our excuses for God in the judgment day. Lest we have sickness, health reasons. Let us not grow weary. Some people burn out on church. We was talking this morning about some people's ideas of what church is all about. Just go somewhere where you feel comfortable. You get uncomfortable, you leave and go somewhere else where you feel comfortable. A lot of churches are established based upon the comfort, the people's comfort zone. And how many different, quote, religious people we can get in there and not hurt anybody's feelings? You listen and read the teachings of Jesus and tell me if he hurt anybody's feelings. Now, he was tactful. But when needed, he laid it down the way it was. We have opportunity to do good. To those that know good and do it not, James says that's a sin, doesn't it? James 4, 13 or 17, somewhere around there. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it's sin. Are we doing good? Jesus went about doing good, Luke tells us in the book of Acts. Jesus went about doing good. If we want to follow Jesus, we'll go about doing good. Oh, the elders don't have a program. Elders don't have to have a program for it. We can go about doing good individually because that's what... Here's some of God's warnings from the book of Hebrews or some admonitions. I take them as admonitions, things to help us in this effort to renew ourselves in the new year. Hebrews 2:1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed. We must. The writer of Hebrews is talking to Jewish brethren who are in the process or in danger of falling away from the faith. And he said, if you want to make sure that you don't, you need to give earnest heed to the things that have been said, that you've heard. And he's talking about the things that had been preached by the apostles about Jesus Christ. And these things, we have this Bible, we can read it too. But the things we've heard, the things we've been told, the things we read about. Chapter 2 and verse 3 of Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect Are we guilty of the sin of neglect? Am I? How shall I escape if I neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? There's some personal thoughts of use of some scriptures here, but my experiences and observations. Some of you have been Christians for 50 years. I have been for 55 as a teacher, as a preacher, educational leader. I've done about everything, deacon, treasurer, elder. All of these things allow you to observe the way things are going, the way things have gone, and able to compare them in your mind. Well, what do we need to do to remain faithful to God? Is that a valid question? When all is said and done, it is probably the only question in it. Am I faithful to God? Am I faithful to God? Number one, pattern our lives. I need to pattern my life after the life of Jesus Christ. After the example of Jesus. Jesus left an example for us, Peter said, that we should follow in his steps. But you know, I need to read about his life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I need to read about the early church and what was taught them on how to walk as Jesus walked. To walk in his steps. I need to know what he was like in order to be what he was like. I need to be like those first century Christians. I need to see what they were taught and how they reacted to what they taught, what they were taught. In Acts 2:42, as far as the Christians today, we need to follow their example. This is what God's Word says. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread, in fellowship, breaking of bread in prayer. Do you do that? Do I do that? Steadfastly. Steadfastly. Now, I don't think they necessarily had to be taught that. I think they wanted to do that. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 souls. Many of them had been there, probably all of them had been there, when Jesus was crucified. And Peter said, you have by wicked hands taken and slain the Savior. And God has raised up, and he's now at the right hand of the Father, both Lord and Christ. And boy, they were pricked in their heart. They were moved because of that. And they asked, what must we do? They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 3,000 acted on that. Now, there was further teaching before that, but 3,000 acted upon that and were baptized. Acts 2:47 said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as men should be saved. The Lord does that. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in the apostles' teaching, in what they'd been taught. There was a steadfastness. In fellowship. Fellowship with one another. Brethren, if we don't meet with one another, if we don't assemble with one another, that was one of the big things of the first century. The assembling together, the gathering together. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Those folks gathered together. Oh, they made some mistakes, did some things they shouldn't have done when they gathered together, but they gathered together. They were in the habit of gathering together. Many of us have got out of the habit of gathering together. Folks, we need to renew ourselves. To fail to follow the example is to fail to please God. They please God. Am I pleasing God? Is that a valid question? Am I pleasing God this morning? Or am I pleasing myself? Am I seeking a comfortable place to sit? Rather than order to find a comfortable place to be in the afterlife, we need to be careful about seeking a comfortable place to sit now. Hebrews 10, beginning verse 22. It's talking, writing to these Christians that are guilt, are in danger of going into apostasy or unfaithfulness. And I call them the let us verses, or the let us admonition. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. What is involved in holding fast? Holding fast. Well, if you're talking about your marriage, you'd be talking about something that wasn't on again and off again, wouldn't you? You're holding fast. You're holding on. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Verse 24. Let us consider one another. Brethren, I can't consider you and follow the admonition here. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. There has to be that assembly. There has to be that assembly. That's what it talks about, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Now, I've read that again and again over the years, and I cannot come up with any other meaning than what it says. I can't fluff it over. Because it has something in verse 26 and verses following that are very critical to our thinking. As far as what we are to do in seeking to save our soul. If we sin willfully, read about it and determine for yourself, what is that willful sin? Well, it could be a number of things, because he's talked about a number of things in the chapter. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. That is a critical situation to be in. What does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. You know, sometimes when I'm doing something, I have brought to my attention by various and sundry folks that it's wrong. And I should be doing something different. But I don't want to do anything. I want to keep on doing what I'm doing. But you know, when I was in a business class at American General, they taught something that was about the dumbest thing I'd ever heard come down the pike when I first heard it. They said, things don't change, they remain the same. You keep on doing things the same way and things will turn out with the same results. If I keep living my life the way I'm living it now, I will come out with the same results. Am I satisfied with the life I'm living now? If I'm satisfied, if I'm convinced God is satisfied, then I need to continue on the way I'm going. But if there's change required, I need to have the courage, have the discipline in my life to admit that change is required. Anytime in the first century that the gospel was preached, in order for anybody to receive it, change was required. These people, for the most part, were Jews. They had to change their religion, so to speak, of what they'd been taught all those years. All Christ was a fulfillment, but there were some new things they had to add. They had not to add, but to take the place of what they had before. And that was tough. That's the reason the Hebrews letter was written. It was tough on some folks. But you know, we're not in this by ourselves, are we? Look at Romans chapter 8. I want to read 3 or 4 verses there and close it. Time's getting away from us. Time is getting away from us. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So no matter what Lonnie says and what those other scriptures say, God can be with me in whatever I do, and what I do for Him. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? From tribulation, or distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or the way this world is going, or, you know, recession, losing a job. As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long, we're counted for sheep for the slaughter. Yet in these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We can be conquerors over these things in our lives that are amiss. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You're here this morning, but not a Christian. You studied the Bible sufficiently on your own or with someone, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You're willing to confess that before this group, repenting of your sins, to be baptized for the remission of those sins. But that may be washed away, Acts 22:16. Why not do it today? If you've fallen away from God, if you need to return to God from a life of unfaithfulness to God, why not do it today? No better day, no better time than the first Sunday of a new year to make a new start. As a Christian, if you need our prayers, we'd be glad to pray with you, pray for you. Would you come as we stand, as we sing?